Good morning, church family. It's great to see everybody here. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving this past week. Hopefully you got to spend some time with family and friends, getting to be grateful for all the blessings that we do have in our lives. We truly are a blessed people. God is taking great care of us, and we have great brothers and sisters that help those that are in need, and we get to reach out to those that are struggling and hurting. It's a great chance we have this morning to be together, to worship together. Thank you for being here to be part of our family. If you are a guest with us today, we're always grateful to have you here with us. Maybe you're even just kind of new to Graham Street. You've been coming for a few weeks or something like that. If you haven't scanned one of these QR codes yet to go online and fill out a connecting form, we highly encourage you to do so. It just helps us to stay a little better in touch with you and see what we can do and maybe be helping you out, praying for you, reaching out to you in any ways. And if you'd love to continue coming and being part of this family, that makes us excited, and we want you to know that that invitation is open to you. So thank you for joining us today if you are a guest with us this morning. As always, we want to get connected and stay connected here at Graham Street, so we've got lots of online resources, our church website, youth website, campus ministry website, and then our Facebook page, wonderful ways to stay in touch with some of the activities and happenings going on at Graham Street. You may be thinking, all right, well, we passed Thanksgiving, but today is a day that we're going to completely and totally focus on this idea of thankfulness. If you haven't gotten a chance yet to stop by and write on one of those little leaves on the tree that's there in the foyer, that's okay. But I would definitely encourage you that if you haven't stopped by to read the leaves that are on that tree, to definitely do so. It's been such a blessing to watch our children fill those out, and occasionally a mom or dad try to sneak one in there as well. But it's neat and inspiring to see what it is that we're thankful and grateful for in our lives. So check that out. This will be the last week that that'll be up, and it's not too late if you want to add a leaf to that tree out there in the foyer as well. Thank you to all those that participated in making that a fun activity for us over this last month. All right, we will have children's church this morning. So for ages 3, 4, and 5, here in just a little while, we'll have our children's offering, and then we'll dismiss that age group to go up to the loft for children's church. And as always, the nursery is also available just down the hallway, first door on the right as you head there. All right. I like kind of getting to do this from week to week. It's been fun. And I think we need to continue it just for a few more weeks, and then we'll stop. We'll stop talking about this all the time, I guess. Congratulations to the Yellow Jackets. They are regional semifinal champs. And I don't know why, but for some reason, I just felt like we needed to have the one on there where you see that Argyle did not score as many points as us, so that we could kind of just remember that. But a great victory that they had, and well, we're happy for them as they continue on in the playoffs. This morning, like I said, we're going to be talking a lot about thankfulness. And I hope you realize that we have so much to be grateful for, and that even just by having this place to come together and these people that we're sitting next to, that you guys should know that God blesses us, God takes care of us, God loves us, and this morning we have that chance to really focus on that in the things that we do today. Let's begin our time together with a prayer. Father, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Not any one particular thing, but God, sometimes we just need to say that to you. Thank you. You have chosen us. You've given up everything for us. Father, you see us not just as part of your creation, but you see us as your masterpiece, as your ultimate creation. Father, so much that when you create us, that you've allowed part of who you are to be in us, to be a part of us. And Lord, as we are gathered here today, as a family, as one, united in your love, in your grace, in your mercy, Father, may we be joyful, may we be grateful, may we be thankful for who you are, for what you've done and what you will continue to do in each and every one of our lives. Father, now as we have a chance to sing praises to you, help us to remember that as we have a week, a day that we get to focus on Thanksgiving, Father, that we get to celebrate Thanksgiving to you each and every day of our lives. And Father, now as we sing out and we worship together, May you hear the joyful noise coming from our hearts as it falls onto your ears. Father, thank you for bringing us here together today. Be with us now as we worship together. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
If you would stand as we sing our first few songs, the theme is thankfulness. We have so much to be thankful for. We're thankful for our church family. We're thankful that we get to live in the greatest nation ever. And we serve a risen Savior. And let's sing with that thankfulness as it flows out of our heart this morning as we sing.
Thank you, Lord, for loving me. And thank you, Lord, for blessing me. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Let us all with one accord sing praises to Christ. So unite in song to praise Him all day long. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Please reveal your will for me so I can serve you for eternity. Use my life in every way. Take hold. I want to thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings one by one. Count your blessings, see what God. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through. Jesus, I thank you, and I thank you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. How I thank you, Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you, and I thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you for loving and setting me free. Thank you for giving your life just for me. Thank you, Jesus, I thank you. Gratefully thank you. Thank you. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so to me, and he cares for me, he cares for me, he cares for me, he's so good to to me, and he answers prayer. He answers prayer. He answers prayer. He's so
okay, it's that time for Children's Church, so those that are ages 3, 4, and 5, you guys will get ready to head upstairs to the loft. But don't forget, while we do have the children's offering going on, that is available for any of our kiddos that want to be a part of that. Or, as I've always said, it's also available for any of our adults. If you want to walk down here and give this way as well, you're more than welcome to. So, as we have this song playing here in a second, we encourage our kiddos to come on up and you can make your offering.
Blue skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see when my Lord is living in me. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. Grass and flowers are blooming in springtime, all works of the Master I live for each day. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part. Tall mountains, green valleys, valleys, the beauty that surrounds me all makes me aware of the one who made it all. I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Nevermore will I be all alone, since he promised me that we never would part.
Good morning, church. Of all the things I have to be thankful for, and there are many, one of them is my family, and the other is my church family. I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm glad you're here this morning. I don't know what happened to the group right here. It must be something about me, you know, standing. They must have a lot of confidence in my projection, you know. Vicky is the faithful up here, so. Anyway, it's good to see you all. Let's go to God in prayer. Would you bow with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. It is a day of beauty. It is a day where fall is in the air and we have excitement about this season. But it's also another day to celebrate what you have done for us in giving us the hope that we have. Of as great as this life may be, we know that we have many times of suffering and toil and difficulty. And all over the world, there are people in trouble and hardship. And we know that a better day is coming. And we know that after the resurrection, we have the opportunity to be with you forever in a place where we'll never face any of those troubles again. And you've given us that hope through giving your Son. And we come together this day not only to remember that we're blessed in so many ways, but above all, we're blessed in that you have given us this hope in Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. All right. Thank you for being here this morning. We have a little bit of a difference in our plan. Originally, this part of the lesson this morning was going to be done by Wes. And I appreciate Wes so much for the many things he does for this church. But this has been a tough week for Wes, and Wes wouldn't say anything about it. He's just not that way. He doesn't like to draw attention to what he's going through. But this was going to be a week that he could take some time to kind of focus in on his mom and his dad and take care of some things, as his dad is dealing with cancer and his mom's dealing with some dementia and so forth. But in addition to that, their family was struck by an unexpected tragedy. With the death of a cousin, and they've been dealing with that funeral. They had that yesterday. And I just asked Wes, would you like for me to just take this morning? I know you've had a lot that you've been dealing with this week. And so he's allowed me the opportunity to help him in that way. But let's keep him in prayer. Wes is kind of one of those guys that, he doesn't whine and complain. You know, he just gets up and does what he needs to do, and I appreciate that about him. So tell him you love him and you appreciate him. And tell him, good day to do this. Tell him you're thankful for him. Okay? So, my lesson's probably not going to go in the same direction that he was going to go, but I'm going to do my best, okay? Luke chapter 17. If you'll take your Bibles, look at Luke chapter 17, verse 11. It's a familiar passage. The first thing we want to focus in on is being thankful for what we've received. And I hope that you're one of the 10%, you know, one of the small number that is thankful in this story. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And he was going into a village, and 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Now, I would like to think that in this auditorium this morning, that if we had experienced a similar healing, every one of us would have stopped when we realized that we had been healed, and we would have come back and thanked the Lord for doing that. Surely we would have done that. And you think, well, what was wrong with the 9 that they didn't do it? Why wouldn't they have that? I mean, wouldn't that be instinctive to realize that you had been healed by Jesus? I mean, you asked him to do that. They were shouting to him to please have pity on them and to heal them. Surely they would realize that that healing came from Jesus, and they would want to return and thank him for it. But 9 out of 10 did not. And it could be for a number of reasons. I mean, I don't know. You know, it could just be selfishness, self-centeredness. You know, that their attitude was such that all they could focus in on was them. Maybe it was not that we should think of this in a negative way. Maybe it was just they were just so filled with joy. They were ready to go and enjoy being cleansed, you know, being healed. I think that's one reason why Jesus said to them, now go to the priest. And on the way to the priest, they were healed. Because according to law, if you look in Leviticus chapter 14, if you're made well by some means, naturally, by God's blessing, whatever, you become well from a skin disease of leprosy, then you're supposed to go and present yourself to the priest and go through a ceremony, a pretty elaborate ceremony. Sometimes I would love to preach about that ceremony, because I think in everything in it there is symbolism to the cross of Jesus. But I'm not going to preach that this morning. But you can go read it for yourself and see if there's not symbolism in the cleansing ceremony of the leper to the cross of Jesus Christ. But Jesus sends them back to the priest, because that's where they're going to have to go next. They're going to have to go and present themselves to the priest. So maybe some of them were so, you know, focused on their duty to go show themselves to the priest, that's what they did. The other 9 just went on and showed themselves to the priest. I don't know. I don't know why. But one of them had a heart that was so filled with praise for God and such thanksgiving that he had to stop in his tracks. He didn't go on to the priest like he had been told to do. He turned around there on the spot when he realized that he had been healed. And he came back. And instead of presenting himself to the priest by Jewish law, he presented himself to the high priest appointed by God to be our eternal high priest. And thanked him for his cleansing. What about you? Maybe you're so involved in enjoying the blessings that God has given you that you don't really take the time that you should to stop and thank the Lord for what you've been given. And it's not that you don't appreciate what you've been given. You have great joy in participating in all those blessings. But maybe you need to stop and just take a moment and thank God for what you've been blessed with. I think that's a wonderful thing about what Nicole and Wes have done with the tree of thankfulness that we have out in the foyer. And it's great to watch the kids go and put things on those little leaves and stick it on the tree, because it's teaching them a principle of stop and think about your blessing and give thanks to God for it. And maybe part of the reason that you are not as thankful, maybe, as you should, not as spontaneous in your thankfulness as maybe you should be, is because you're trying to live righteously. You're trying to do what you're supposed to do. You're kind of like the priest who are heading to present yourself to the priest and fulfill and be obedient to the law. And maybe when you're living your life, you're trying to live it righteously and morally and live like a Christian should, but maybe you're caught up in the duty of it, the rightness of it, that you don't take time to just praise God for what you have and to be thankful. One of the reasons why the church struggles with thankfulness, I think, is it's not been the emphasis of our church. I don't think we emphasize it in our heritage. Thankfulness is not a part of what we have emphasized in our particular tribe of the Reformation. As Vicky's driving, and some of you know that we were blessed with a wonderful gift this last week to be able to celebrate Thanksgiving with our family. Our daughter, who teaches out in the Los Angeles area, had a parent who was very generous, appreciated her teaching their child, and they presented our daughter with a timeshare in a wonderful place in Las Vegas. And so we met together as a family out there to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas and birthdays and get them all in, you know, at the same time, because we don't get to be together. We're a pretty spread out family. We have a daughter in Los Angeles area. We've got another one in Boston, and it's great for us to be able to get together. And while we're driving, that's a long, long drive, I do some reading. And I was reading a book by John Piper about John Calvin and Martin Luther. And one of the things that impressed me about some things that he was writing about these two early Reformationists was their thankfulness. And when he described their physical health, the difficulty that they went through, I was so impressed with the suffering that they went through and the persecution and so forth. And I decided it was an interesting thing for me to read to Vicky while she's driving. And I started describing, you know, the kidney stones and the hemorrhoids and all of this stuff, you know, that they experienced. And she said, stop, don't read another word. I don't want to hear that. And I don't know why it impressed me, but it didn't impress her. You know, I don't know what the deal is. But in the midst of all of that, they were thankful. That attitude impressed me so much. And there's writings by both men of being thankful for their suffering because of how close it brought them in their relationship to their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I thought about that as I was reading. Well, that's in the writing of Paul also, that Paul was thankful for his suffering because it brought him in a closer relationship with Jesus. And I think, wow, you know, if we could find this thankful heart in our lives, that even we're thankful for what we suffer, we probably would live more this attitude of gratitude. But there's another reason why I think the church struggles with this. And that is because in our effort to try to put our emphasis upon going back and being the church that we originally were, that Jesus built, before so many man-made traditions begin to pile up in the church, and trying to put our focus on trying to teach the simple gospel message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ, that emphasis, that points of what we were trying to be different in the Reformation, I think we may have lost some of that emphasis on gratitude, on thanksgiving, of praise. Our particular tradition has not emphasized praise in our worship as much as some others. I don't think it's because we're not praising God. I don't think it's because we lack in thanksgiving. I think it's because it has not been a part of our tradition to express it in our worship like some other traditions, because we focused on other things. And you may not have an interest in that, but I'm going to share it with you as just for a moment this morning. It also has impacted the way we do our Lord's Supper. Our Lord's Supper has been, in some ways, in the Protestant movement, a focus on protesting the way the Lord's Supper had been taught. Where that upon the blessing of the priest, there's an actual change of the bread and the wine into the actual flesh and blood of Jesus. And in the early Reformation, it began to be a part of, when this is part of the reason why we call it the Protestant movement, was a protesting about that authority, that power that was given to the priest to be able to actually make that transformation where we're actually participating in eating and drinking the flesh and the blood of Jesus. And so we've made it a part of our presentation in doing the Lord's Supper in most Protestant churches is an emphasis on the idea that this is representative, that the blood represents or is represented by the wine, that the bread represents the body of Jesus. And we teach that and we emphasize that. Remember that early on, the Lord's Supper was called in the Reformation the Eucharist, which is taken from the word thanks. Because in all accounts of the Last Supper, even in 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul is telling the Corinthians, you're making a mess of the Lord's Supper, remember, and then it tells the story. And remember that the story starts with, and Jesus took the bread and gave thanks. It starts with giving thanks. One of the things that we have not emphasized in the taking of the Lord's Supper is the giving thanks. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have that as a part of our Lord's Supper. I'm not saying that there aren't men who lead us in prayer before we take the bread and take the cup that don't say thank you. But I wonder if maybe there's a 1 in 10 that really takes the Lord's Supper with thankfulness. I hope there's more than that. I fear that maybe in our journey through COVID and the little cups, that maybe part of what we've lost is a little bit of thankfulness. That we concerned ourselves with getting the ritual done because it's commanded that we do it. And we are thankful for the fact that we have the little cups, you know, and the little cracker there that we can do it. We can do it and keep our custom of taking the Lord's Supper. But have we lost some of the reason why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me? When Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, he was not trying to teach against transubstantiation. He was not trying to teach a doctrinal matter about how bread and wine become the body and the blood of Jesus. Jesus was trying to say, when you do this with thanks, remembering what I've done for you. And so this morning, as part of the sermon, if you will, however you want to look at it, it's not in our usual order. You don't usually get a sermon before this. But I want to ask you to really focus on the giving of thanks this morning as we take the Lord's Supper. Make the emphasis, not trying to remember all of these particular things about what you associate with the Lord's Supper, but really make the focus of the Lord's Supper this morning Not trying to influence how you do it other days, but this morning, try to take your mind back to the sacrifice that Jesus made for us because he was willing to give himself for us, and be thankful. I appreciate the fact that Wes was willing to go ahead and lead us in our communion this morning, and I've asked him to say the prayers for us this morning. But in your own private prayers, I ask you this morning, make it an emphasis on giving thanks. We're going to be led in a song, and then we'll take communion, and we'll do it with a heart of praise and thanks.
Slow way down and think about the awesome sacrifice of our Lord and Savior and be thankful.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have sent him from your side to walk upon this guilty soil and to become the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified. They laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud and sacrificed Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side to be led by your staff and rod and to be called the Lamb God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Oh, wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the
I appreciate what David had to say. He didn't know that a little bit of what he was even going at would have been towards what I would have shared to help prepare us for this moment. And I do. I feel like we get so distracted in this moment. I'm sitting there thinking, all right, I better pre-open the bread so I don't get up there and fumble with it like I normally do. And thinking about all these other things as opposed to a moment to pause. And I think about that night that Jesus shared that Last Supper, that moment with his disciples. And that during that moment, while he's having these conversations with them, that as he looks at them, he says that one of them is going to betray him. And they get all nervous and they get worried and they kind of force it onto John, you know, the one that Jesus loved, that, you know, John, you got to find out who it is. And Jesus reveals that, and can you imagine the thankfulness in 11 others whenever they heard, it's not me. But then at the same time, the heartbreak that was going on for Jesus when he had to name his betrayer. And for a moment, I think they probably forgot about anything that Jesus was talking about and teaching, because all they heard was, I'm not the bad guy. For us now, we have one moment to pause and to remember that we're not the bad guy. That it's sin. And that's what Jesus knew he came to erase. And in this moment now, we get to pause and say, I'm not the bad guy, because we have a Savior. Let's pray. God, we thank you for making a choice to take us back, to send your Son on our behalf so that we could be made worthy and whole again in your eyes. Father, we thank you for the life, the example of your Son. Father, we're grateful for his willingness to take on such pain and suffering and torture in his body for us. And Father, now as we have this moment to pause, as we take this bread, help us to realize that we are eternally grateful and eternally in your debt because of your Son. It's in his holy name that we pray. Amen. I want to share one other thought with you before we pray for the cup. Yesterday, when I was at my cousin's memorial service, there was something that his wife got up and spoke and shared with us, something that he told his family each and every day, something that he reminded them of a lot of times when they were struggling, when they were hurting. He would say, you don't treat someone a certain way because of who they are. You treat someone a certain way because of who you are. And that man, oh, that just hit me yesterday, because I was trying to plan for this moment to prepare for communion thoughts and what I was going to say when I'm up here. And that hit me thinking, I am so grateful that God doesn't look at me because of who I am. God looks at me, Christ looks at me because of who he is. And he sees a very different person than I see when I think and look at myself. And it's because of this blood that's washed us clean that we have that ability to say we are worthy. Because each and every one of us know that we are not. But because of this blood, because of this sacrifice, we are grateful that God has called us his. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the willingness that you had, the willingness that your Son had to do something that seemed impossible. Father, we thank you for the blood that Jesus shed so that Father, we can be perfect in your eyes. And Lord, we are an imperfect people. We are so unworthy of the things that you do for us. But Father, again, today we are grateful in this moment that because of your sacrifice, because of the blood of your Son, that we are washed clean. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing this next song, please.
Please watch for the transition of us as believers during this song from the first through the fourth verse as we sing this.
Oh, the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee, all of self and none of thee, all of self and none of thee. When I proudly said to Jesus, all of self, none of thee, yet he found me, I beheld him bleeding on the accursed tree, and my wistful heart said faintly, myself and some of thee, some of self and some of thee, some of self and some of thee, and the heart said faintly, some of self and some of thee. Day by day, his tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self of thee, less of self and more of thee, less of self and more of thee, brought me lower while I whispered, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heavens, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee, none of self and all of thee, none of self and all of thee. Lord, thy love at last has conquered none of self and all of thee.
Please be seated.
Thank you, Wes. I don't know if you noticed in the slides of that song, as you get to the fourth verse, there's a little notation at the top of the lines of the score that it says, not too fast. And it's kind of interesting to me that's there. I know very little about music, but I find that kind of interesting because the song itself tends to make you want to sing fast, because that fourth verse is a celebration. And I mean, you want to put the foot on the pedal and go, you know, when you get to that part, because you've been kind of dragging through this bad attitude, and you get to the fourth verse and it's like, wow, you know, none of self and all of thee, and you want to move out, and it tells you, slow down, think about what it's saying. Wes, I'll probably be way off from the slides here, so if you want to just be ready to hit that video when the time comes, let me show you a passage in Acts just for a moment. I know you know this. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because I discovered it as a little boy who was just starting to read. And I think I've told the church here about how my parents gave me, as I was learning to read, they gave me a little blue Bible. It had a zipper on it and all that. It was just a treasured possession. And one of the things that I learned early on, before I could read all the words, I was told that the red letters in it were the words of Jesus. And even without understanding about all the stuff about the four Gospels and then the book of Acts and all of that, even I was sharp enough to know, with my limited reading skill, that the first four books had a whole lot of red letters in it. I mean, So the first four books had a lot of Jesus speaking in there, and I knew that much. But when I got to Acts, it was all black letters. Except when you come to Acts chapter 20. And so if you have your Bibles there and you have the good fortune of having red letters in it, you'll notice that in the book of Acts, now this is after the death of Jesus, there's some red letters. And that caught my attention years ago as I was learning to read. And so let me read verses 34 and 35 and just mention what it is that Jesus is quoted as saying. Jesus said, now he's speaking to the Ephesian elders. He's meeting in Miletus, not in Ephesus. He's meeting with them in Miletus for a goodbye time with the elders there. He spent a long time with these elders. He's tried to help them prepare for the future at the Ephesian church. And he wants to say goodbye to them because he's on his way. The Holy Spirit has revealed that he is going to suffer in the future. And he may even die. And so he's saying goodbye. And he's saying, I'll probably not see you again. But there's some things I want to leave with you before I go. And so in verses 34 and 35, he says, you yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, when Paul quotes this, whatever he's meaning by it is more blessed to give than to receive, he quotes Jesus in this. And this is something that Jesus has revealed to him. It's not found in the four Gospels. This is something that in Paul's time with Jesus, in preparing him to be an apostle, one who is called out of season from the other apostles, Jesus reveals to him, and Paul quotes him as saying, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And if you think about the context in which Paul is using this, he's talking about a lot of different things. Obviously, he's talking about giving the gospel because Paul has totally committed himself to living his life in giving, sharing the gospel with other people. But there's more than that. He said, you know, with my own hands, I have done what was needed to be done to supply to my needs when I didn't have a church taking care of me. I took care of myself by making tents and doing whatever I could do to make money, to supply my needs, but not only my needs, but the needs of the people who were with me in my mission trips. So what we know about Paul is that Paul did not depend solely on the church to take care of him, because some of the churches didn't do a very good job of that. In fact, Paul has to get on to a few of the churches and say, hey, look, you have a responsibility of taking care of me. I'm not going to let it keep the gospel from spreading. I'll do what has to be done. And thankfully, there are churches who have supplied my needs so I can do this. But you need to take responsibility for this. That was one of the things he kept saying to the Corinthians. Now look, you need to take responsibility. You need to help supply the needs to the people who are on the mission trips. And I'll get by. I'll take care of myself. I have a trade that I can do, that I can fall back on, but some others don't, and you need to take care of them. I think it's important to realize that what Paul is saying here is that in the giving is the greater blessing than in the receiving. And I think what Wes shared with us just a moment ago, we realize that we have been so blessed in the receiving. But in the giving, it's a greater blessing. Now, in Paul talking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, and I'll let you do the reading of this yourself, the church had made a commitment early on when they heard that the saints, the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem and in that region, because of a famine, were suffering and they needed help. they made a commitment along with many other churches that they would take up a collection and they would send that collection to help the brothers and sisters in that region who were suffering. But we don't know exactly why, but for whatever reason, they were slow in getting around to getting it done. So when Paul writes a later letter to the Corinthians, he says, look, you need to get this done. You made a commitment. There are brothers and sisters depending on you. You need to get that collection taken care of, and you need to get it sent to them. And he gives them several reasons why. One of them is what we talked about already this morning. Remember what you received from the Lord in dying for you, and out of an expression of appreciation for that, you need to be willing to give and share with others. And that's where we have that wonderful passage in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, where it talks about that we are to be cheerful givers. And God loves a cheerful giver. And we need to give accordingly. But the missed part of that passage comes after that. And one thing that Paul says is, if you make up your mind to do this, God will provide you what you have committed to give. And he will exceed that commitment. That's what Paul says about it. He says, if you do this, if you commit to giving to this, and you're saying, oh, we can't do this. We can't do this. Oh, we just don't have, you know, we got a budget, you know, and we put the money to this and to this and to this, and we just can't give to those. But we love them, and we appreciate the fact that they're suffering and all that, but we just don't have enough money to go around. We can't take care of our own needs. Paul says, if you commit to doing this good work, God will give you what you need to fulfill your commitment and beyond. Now, that's what Paul is saying. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. You can check it out for yourself. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to say, and if you give in this way, out of thanksgiving for what God has given to you, God will multiply the thanksgiving. God will cause greater thanksgiving, not only by the people who have received the blessing, they'll be thankful for it, but even the people who hear about the thanks, they will give thanks to God because of what you've done. In other words, Paul is saying, it's great to give thanks because of what you've received, but if you give thanks in giving, you multiply thanksgiving. People over and over and over again give thanks because of you giving out of your thankfulness. Now this morning I want to share a video with you, and you're going to have to listen closely to this video because it's not always real audible. But it's one of the missionaries that you have graciously supported in the mission field. His name is Stanley. And he is involved in the prison ministry. And we have helped him to be able to do that ministry. And I'm not exaggerating here. Thousands of people have received the message of God's love because of the ministry that he's been doing in the prisons. I want you to listen to what he's saying. And I want you to see that what Paul said will happen when we give out of thanks, that it multiplies thanksgiving. I want you to see that for yourself. And then I'll come back and I'll close out our lesson. Okay?
Greetings. My name is Stanley Sharon. I am from Zimbabwe. And I work with the Church of Christ Prison Ministry as a prison minister. I graduated of African Christian College in Manzini, Swaziland. I met Brother HM in 2008 when he came to Manzini at our college to teach about new life. From that time, I developed interest in teaching new life curriculum because I saw it fit and good to transform lives for people from old life to good life. The prison ministry started in 2004. Currently, we have got 14 volunteers who goes into prison to teach and to mark the courses. We had 785 students so far who are currently studying with us. But from the time we started, we had about 14,206 inmates. We have gone through our curriculum and our lessons. Out of the 14,000, 7,912 were baptized after they've passed through our lessons. This includes both inmates and officers. And also, we have about 750 spouses of inmates who have studied with us, taking our courses, and all of them are baptized. When we look at the impact of the lessons we are taking into prisons, this have proved to be very good, and the courses have become very good to the inmates. And most of the inmates who have gone through our lessons have transformed from hardcore criminals to good people and responsible people in Zimbabwe. Even the prison officers, some of them who were always fighting with their bosses and their wives at home, they are now doing the right things because of going through our lessons. And we have also some inmates who were once sentenced to life in prison, but due to showing good behavior after studying the lessons with us, as I am talking to you right now, some of them, they have been released. Of note, I've got one who is called Joseph Ntalia. He has now opened an orphanage home in Harare. Before we met him, he had been sentenced to death. But glory to God, his sentence was commuted to life imprisonment after studying with us. And God worked wonders with this guy. He finally got released 2 years ago. We also have Sam Mawao from Kariba, Zimbabwe. He was also sentenced to death, but because of studying with us, his sentence was commuted to life imprisonment. And later on, he was pardoned by the president. Today, he's a counselor in Kariba. We also distributed 5,850 Bibles into prisons. These Bibles, we were not just giving a person, but after studying and seeing it now good and clear for us to give the inmate a Bible, would award an inmate a Bible. Thank you for the Bibles. Thank you for everything. Brothers and sisters, whatever you are doing for us here in Zimbabwe, supporting the prison ministry, you are the roots of all the work we are doing. And we are only the stem of what is happening here in Zimbabwe in the prison ministry. We have seen so many results of people after studying with us. They are now responsible citizens of Zimbabwe. As I am talking to you right now, I want to plead to you to say, please continue supporting the prison ministry in whatever country it is in Africa. As the lessons we are getting from New Life Behavior, these lessons are very good and they've worked wonders in prisons. Brothers and sisters, we live in a third world country financially and economically. Please, I beg you in the name of our Lord, do not let us continue living in a third world country spiritually. Please continue, support us. Help us to preach. Help us to teach the word of God. As Christians, we say there's no need for us to build many prisons, but there's need for us to preach and teach the word of God. On behalf of the prison ministry in Zimbabwe, I want to thank you for your support. Thank you for the material. Thank you for the printing of courses we are doing here in Zimbabwe. And also thank you for the material support you are giving us here in Zimbabwe. Thank you.
Now, some of that's hard to hear, but over 7,000 people have been baptized. And what he said is that we're the roots and they're just the stem of what we planted. And in addition to what's happening in Zimbabwe, it's happening here as well, as we're involved in prison ministry here. And that's just one example. That's just one example of how it's more blessed to give than to receive. And we give thanks not only for what we've received, but we give thanks for what we've been able to give. And I want to thank you for being such a giving church. I am convinced that we're not a church of nine lepers. I'm convinced we're like the one that came back. I believe that this is a church that's willing to give and to give and to give, not only because we feel like an obligation to give, and obviously we are because so much has been given to us, but we also give because we have a thankful heart. We give because we have an attitude of gratitude for what's been given to us. And I just want to thank you. It's such a privilege to be able to be a minister in a church that's a church of praise and thanks and giving. I've served in many other churches, but there's not one like Graham Street. And we don't know what the days are going to be ahead of us. The last 2 years have been crazy. We don't know what it's going to be like in the future. But know that you have a special place in the heart of God. And Jesus has promised it is more blessed to give than to receive. Let us not lose that spirit. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father God, we thank you for all you've given to us. We have much to be thankful for. As we plan to do great things in this building and around us and throughout the world, we give you the praise and we give you the thanks for giving us the honor and the privilege of giving, because we do feel more blessed by giving than all that we received. But what we've received is so great, we're so thankful. And we thank you, God, in this weekend as we've been able to focus in on giving thanks. We pray that we'll never lose that spirit, that people will know, no matter what they may think of us as they come and worship with us, may they know that this is a church that is a giving church, a church of praise, a church of thanks. May that never change. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Rusty.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks Because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, give thanks, give thanks.
Good morning. Good to see everyone here today. Hope you've been encouraged by being here this morning. I hope you had a good week this last week. Got to spend some time with family and friends. But we're reminded, even though our nation has set aside one day to be thankful, we as Christians celebrate thankfulness every day for what Christ has done for us. We're reminded of that. Thank you, Rusty, David, and Wes, for leading us this morning in this worship service. I do have one announcement. I don't know if you know it or not. Jeanette Parker was in the hospital. She got ill yesterday evening, and Don had to take her in. They tested her for COVID. They tested her for the flu, and she came up negative for both of those. She came up negative for heart problems, and so they told her she had a blood infection, and so they would try to figure out what caused that today. And I got a text a while ago that said she has pancreatitis, so what she has, but she also said the good news is she was going to get to go home this afternoon. And I visited her this morning. She was all over. She wants out of there, so that's a good thing. I'd like to close this morning reading from God's Word in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. After I read this, Rusty will lead one more song, and then we'll be dismissed. This is Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of its glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, and grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
We're going to need to stand for this last song. You can't sing this one sitting down. How great is our God. Sing it like you mean it.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will sing how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time darkness in his hands, beginning and the end, the beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, Lion and the Lamb. Sing it out. How great is our God. Sing with me. How great is our God. And I will sing how great, how great is our God.